This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This has been a hard week. This has been a really, really hard week. So last week we had our youth retreat. Which was fantastic. The students loved it. The leaders loved it. The whole weekend was so quick, but so deep and meaningful. The triplets. So Jalicia on Friday was having a fever and couldn't come with us. And so it was just the triplets and Christine and myself, which is unfortunate because of how retreats work. Everyone grows very deep in connection with each other. And throughout the whole week, the triplets kept asking me, you know, "This would have been fun with Jalicia. Can we come back next year and make sure that Jalicia comes with us? Can we come back next year, Pastor Jesse?" They kept asking me that. "Can we have a lock-in? Can we do this again?" And it was great to see these students, to see them internalize the message of Christ, to see them learn and love each other and to grow in deeper connection with Christine. And it was hard to explain everything that happened, and I was hoping one of the students would be here, and I'm going to try to get one of them next week to come and talk about the retreat. Of course, on the way home, I received a text message that Lucy Hoffman was in the hospital. I got home, I packed a change of clothes. I was headed out to central Pennsylvania, and I stopped by the hospital, and all of Lucy's family was there, and we prayed and we sat and talked for a couple of minutes, and then I left, and about an hour later, Lucy passed. And then the week went on. Then the week continued, and all the things I had not done, I had to do, and homework and schoolwork and meeting with Lucy's family, and all of the things that go on in a week piled on top of one another, and then yesterday we buried Lucy. And in the midst of all of this, I think I got sick again. In the midst of this, I am mourning. I think just like some of you are, differently. I only knew Lucy for a short period of time, but she affected me. And so I wrote a sermon. I wrote two sermons this week, and I feel myself not into it. I feel myself not feeling it. I feel myself struggling today, and I don't know why. So I'll read the text and see if we can get into it, and we'll go from there. But I think this is part of what grieving is like. So last week, before the youth retreat, I was online, just doing one of those weird, I was waiting for something, just scrolling through Facebook. And someone from Port Colden, Samantha, Howard's granddaughter, had shared something on Facebook that kind of floored me. And it's something I wanna try here. It's a little out there, bear with me, I apologize. I want everyone to close their eyes. And I'm going to preface this by saying I hate when people tell me to do this. I cannot stand when people tell me to close my eyes. And I think I know why now. So if we could close our eyes for a second. And I want us to imagine a red star. Imagine a star that's red, has 5 points, and try to picture that in your mind's eye. A star. And a red star at that. All right, so then if you can see it, hold on to that for a second, and then we're gonna open our eyes. And we have to do it this way. Who can see a red star in their mind's eye? Who can picture that? Please raise your hand. Okay, who can picture a star? Maybe it's not red, maybe it's kind of blurry. Okay, who sees like a shadow of a star? Who sees like absolutely nothing? Like I'm one of those people. This floored me, by the way. So this week I've been asking everyone I came in contact with, when you close your eyes, can you see something in your mind's eye? Can you not see something in your mind's eye? All right, so we can open our eyes now. So this is what has been on my mind all week. There are some people, and some people in this church, that can, when they close their eyes, they can see things. And for me, that is amazing, because when I close my eyes, I see nothing. And so for those who can see stars in their mind, there are some people who see nothing when they close their eyes. The way that Alyssa said to me, goes, so what do you... Like, when you're falling asleep, what do you think about? I'm like, I don't know. I just lay there and hope that I fall asleep at some point because it's boring. And she goes, well, what if, you know, like when you're counting sheep? I'm like, yeah, wait, hold on. Do you actually see sheep in your mind when you're trying to fall asleep? She goes, yeah. Like, I thought you were just counting numbers. And that's what we called counting sheep was just the trying to fall asleep and counting numbers in that. I cannot visualize anything. When I close my eyes, all I see is this yellow kind of blackness, this nothingness in my mind's eye. And yet there are some people that can clearly see that star. That was revolutionary for me this week. When we went on the youth retreat, some of the students could see the star, some couldn't. And then we started teasing each other about who could and who couldn't. They kept teasing me. They're like, well, Pastor Jesse can't visualize that. Pastor Jesse doesn't know what we're gonna see because he can't visualize anything. Which I realize now what that means. It's called aphantasia. The inability to look in our mind's eye, the inability to see anything in our mind's eye. It's this thing that a percentage of us have and some of us don't have. And so for me this week, it was revolutionary because I didn't realize that some people could see when they closed their eyes. I didn't realize that there were some people that could see the red star and that I am one of those who are not. And so we could talk about aphantasia all day and we'll talk about it after church because I feel like it's not really a good sermon talk. But I found it hard now when I think about this and now that I know I have this, that when I read stories in scripture, that I don't visualize them. I can imagine, I know when I've seen movies, I've seen biblical scenes, but I can't imagine what it looks like for Jesus to talk to the Pharisees. I can't imagine what it looks like for Jesus to talk to the crowd. I can't imagine what is happening or what they look like or what the scene looks like in my mind's eye. And so instead, I read the text and rely on the text. And that is it. And so this text was hard because it's a weird, awkward, hard text in the lectionary. Mark chapter 7 it's not like a normal good story. It's not Elijah and the prophets on the top of the mountain. It's Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the Pharisees are questioning him and then Jesus responds and it's a lot of talking. I hate movies where they just talk. I like action in them. I like to see what's happening in the action, not try to imagine what people are talking about. And so what is happening? The Pharisees, the legalistic leaders of the temple are coming to Jesus and they're saying, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? As a little kid, I thought, do I have to wash my hands before I eat? Tierney says no. Amen. From the mouths of babes, Tierney, I love it. They go to Jesus and they say, why are they doing this? The elders have told them they have to wash their hands first. Because if not, they're going to defile themselves. If not, they're going to make themselves unclean. And we saw this last week. We saw this the week before. There's so much cleanliness laws. There's so much focus in the Pharisees about what is clean and unclean. If you are clean, you can approach the altar. If you are unclean, you could not worship at the altar. Leviticus talks all about this. If you have bad eyesight, you should not approach the altar. If you have a limp, you should not approach the altar. If you have skin blemishes, like acne, you should not approach the altar. There's lists, and the Pharisees are writing these lists of what you should and what you shouldn't do in order to be clean. And so they begin paying more and more attention to this, and what Jesus says, what Jesus talks to them about, he says, you focus more on these rules than you focus on the commandments of God. You began to pay more attention to who is excluded than who should be included. You're paying too much attention on who should be excluded than why we are worshiping God. Too caught up for your own good. And so Jesus rebukes them. He says, you're missing the mark. You're trying to imagine that red star and coming up short. You're letting go of the commandments of God and instead are focusing on human traditions. And then he doesn't use a parable, but he teaches. He says in verse 14, nothing from the outside is what makes you unclean. It's what is on the inside that makes you unclean. It's not external factors. It's not that you need to wash your hands or that you need to wear glasses that make you unclean. It's your internal sin. It's your heart and your mind that makes you unclean, not the food you eat. Evil comes from our heart. Evil comes from our sin, from the sinful nature of our souls is where evil comes from. And so Jesus is trying to tell the Pharisees, trying to tell the disciples, trying to tell us today that there's a different way, that if sin is the thing that makes us unclean, if sin makes us steal and makes us hurt one another, if sin makes us greedy or malicious, or if we lie or if we're envious because of our sin, it's our sin that affects our lives. And more importantly, it's our sin that affects the lives of those around us. It's our sin when we steal from our neighbor. It's our sin when we hurt our neighbor or our friend. We shouldn't worry about who should and who shouldn't come close to the altar. We shouldn't worry about who is worthy and who isn't worthy. We shouldn't worry about what is making us clean or unclean. Instead, Jesus is telling that it's what we do that makes us unclean. It's what we do that makes us unworthy. Our sin is what makes us unworthy. Our sin makes us unclean. Our sin is what makes us steal or hurt or fight or makes us evil. It's our sin that makes us unclean. It's when sin bubbles out of us that makes us hurt one another. That is the problem with humanity. And thankfully, the story doesn't end there, or else this would be quite a depressing sermon, and y'all just wouldn't come back next week. What Jesus is trying to get at, if our sin makes us evil, if our sin makes us unclean, if our sin comes out of us and does all these things, then we have the ability to fight our sin. We have the ability to fight our sinful nature, to fight that urge, to stand up and say, no, we will no longer be evil. When Jesus went on that cross, when he died on that cross, it was our sin that he died knowing that we were sinners. And so that sin that pushes us and makes us unclean and evil, that was the sin he was fighting against. And that is the sin he is helping us fight against. That is the sin he is helping us overcome and try to live lives that are full of grace. Try to live lives that are full of love. Try to live lives that are like Lucy's, that are giving and full of love and compassion. It's not our sinful lives. Our sin must be forgiven, but our sin is not removed. Our sin is this constant struggle, a constant battle. We have a tendency to lie and cheat and steal, and so we have to fight that. We have to fight our greed and our envy and our arrogance and fight the very natures of our soul. John Wesley talked about that our souls are diseased, that we need a physician, and that our physician is God, that our souls are broken, and so we cannot help but sin, but that is not who we are meant to be. We are meant to live lives full of love. We are meant to live lives full of compassion. We are meant to live lives that go out and make other people better. We are not built for sin. We are not built for evil. We are not built to destroy this world. That is our sin that makes us do that. That is the sin that causes us to be racist or ageist or ableist or classist or sexist. It is our sin that makes us evil, and we are not meant to be sinful. It is our sin which makes us unclean, and we are not meant to be unclean. It is our sin that makes us unworthy, and we are not meant to be unworthy. Our sin has been forgiven but not removed. We still fight that battle every day. How can I live a life worthy of God? How can I fight my sin? How can I honor God? That is what it means to be a Christian. It is not that everything is clean and finished and I can go on living a better life. It's that I need to fight and struggle and work against the world and work against my sin and find a way to be a better person. Find a way to be the kind of person that Jesus wants me to be. Find a way to be like a child, innocent and pure. And so, friends, this week, as we're going to work or to school, as we're eating or reading or as we're doing whatever it is we do this week, realize that you are not unclean, that you are not unworthy. You are not worthless. Your sin is worthless. It is when we let our sin control us, when we let our sin get the better of us. And so this week, identify that sin. Whatever it is, I know that I have a tendency to be mean to my brothers. Chris called me this week and I was not having it. And so identify where that sin is. Where does that anger come from? Where does that frustration come from? If it means not driving on 78, then don't drive on 78. Take 22 instead. Take an extra 25 minutes and take 22 if that is what is causing you to sin. If you're angry at your neighbor, if you're angry at your friend, and you're being greedy or you're being angry at them, then take a moment and step away. It is not us which is unclean. It is not us which is unworthy. It is our sin, and we have to fight against it. We have to follow God's commandments. We have to follow God's laws. We have to visualize that red star, and maybe we will live lives worthy of his sacrifice. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.